good morning to you, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and around here, we kick off today by wishing all of our listeners, and especially Matt Neely making the magic happen on the other side of the glass, a happy Wednesday Eve here on Tipping Point. Matt, good morning. It's Wednesday Eve. We've almost made it through the week at this point.
Happy Wednesday Eve, Zach. Happy Flag Day. And, yes. Today, tomorrow, Thursday, hot weather, and then we got chances of rain Friday and Saturday. So just a little bit longer.
Bring it on. Bring it on. I use the Calm app for a variety of things. If nobody's used it before, it's absolutely fantastic for a variety of things. But they have these things called soundscapes, and it's kind of what it sounds like. It's sound environments that just kind of play perpetually. And the one I was playing yesterday, it was my afternoon work session, was called City Rain. So I was doing my best, Matt, to bring in the rains the end of the week. So I'm doing my part.
All right. What I'm most curious about is this widespread haze that's in the forecast between 8 and 10 p.m. We'll have to stay tuned to see what that's all about.
For sure. For sure. Well, I'm looking forward to today's show, as I do most days, but the conversation today will be fun and full. Half of it's with a special guest. Half of it is just me. You can give us a call and join the conversation for both. 520-790-2040 is the call-in line. I want to talk about a recent piece that came out from the Arizona Chamber, Housing as an Economic Issue, how Arizona's housing shortage puts Arizona's red-hot economy at risk. Also want to talk about a recent veto of electric vehicle legislation in Colorado by the Democratic governor there, Jared Polis, and how it relates to a Tucson story. I'm always looking to connect. And then, of course, we'll give a special Tucsonan a shout out a little bit later in the show. But the first half, our first conversation, is with Edgar Soto. He's with me in studio, and we're going to talk about something that I think could have a huge impact, and so does he, on the economy of Southern Arizona around sports. So let's get into it. Edgar, thanks for making it down today. It's good to see you.
Good morning, Zach. Thank you for having me.
So let's start real quick in way of introduction. Your day job here in Southern Arizona. Who are you? What do you do? And then we'll get to your community hat in a second.
Well, my day job is I'm currently the vice president at Pima Community College. I overlook the Desert Vista campus, but been at Pima for over 25 years.
Got it. And that's what you do. But you're also involved, and really why we're here this morning, you're involved on an effort to, if I understand it right, establish a sports authority here in Southern Arizona. Did I get that right?
That's correct. It's a sports, tourism, and film authority.
Got it.
Okay. So we had something similar way back in 2008. We had a Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority.
Okay. What happened to that?
So back in 2008, we were charged with trying to retain Major League Baseball for spring training. So we had the Diamondbacks and the Rockies were agreeing to stay, and we're in negotiation with three other major league teams, and we had plans to build a stadium in Marana. Had the plans completed, things were kind of moving forward, and when it got to the point where this was going to get voted on, it was a year there was a controversy issues, and I think at that time the Democrats walked out. It just never got to a vote. So what happened is,
at the state legislative level,
yeah, and so it never got to a vote, but that was going to give us a taxing authority to do some things to retain those two teams and to attract other teams, and it never got to a vote. And had that happened, I mean, you could imagine that I-10 corridor going to Phoenix would have been filled with business and industry, because we would have had three teams there in Marana. So
what
would have been a total of five teams?
What would those have been?
Well, we were in some soft talks with Washington Nationals, Baltimore Orioles, and Milwaukee Brewers. There were teams that were talking, that were interested, and we had talked to them in the past. So a couple of them were from the Grapefruit League, and one of them was from the Cactus League. So just trying to do some upgrades, create some more facilities to do some things with. Also, there was a youth and amateur sports component to that also, to try to improve fields, to try to the parks and recreation, to try to increase tourism and create economic mobility here in Tucson or Southern Arizona.
In your mind, and this is probably my last question on the past, because I want to look to the future. We can't do anything about the past, but we can do something about the future. In your mind, because you've been involved with this, you've been watching it, why did we lose minor league spring baseball? In your mind, everyone has an opinion. What's yours?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different parts to that. I think part of it, as you said something in your introduction, you said shaping Tucson's future. And I think sometimes we get comfortable and we just have these expectations that we're always going to have spring training, we're always going to have these opportunities out here. But that takes constant nurturing, cultivating, to make sure we keep some of these things that are going on in Southern Arizona. And I think we just, I'm not sure the exact reason, but I think that we learned a lesson. Here we are in 2022, mm-hmm. and to think that we might have a major league team here again, possibly, or have a big Hollywood production is exciting to think about. And I just want to make sure that here in 2022, that we've learned from our past and we set up the dominoes and things we need to do so that if this opportunity does happen, we've got the infrastructure, we got some things in place to support it.
Right. So we're going to get into this more in depth in the second segment for sure. But what could a sports, film, tourism authority do to keep the dusters in town, that HBO mm-hmm. series that, despite all of our best efforts, there wasn't enough support from the state legislature fast enough mm-hmm. to really seal the deal, or again support some of the sports that are already happening here, but also sports that could come here? Why would this authority make a difference going forward?
So it would give us the ability to create incentives or rebates. It's not a tax credit. I want to be clear about that, because I know there's some issues with tax credits and film, but it's an incentive bill. So we could do things to, you know, incentivize a film like Duster, the HBO Max film, to stay here. That was, I think if we would have gotten a season of that, that would have been about a $50 million mm-hmm. economic impact for us. But we can maybe do things to give them incentives so they stay here and to create some conditions and situations where it's going to make sense for them to stay here in Tucson or Southern Arizona.
For sure. And before we go to the break, then that this is not a theoretical bill, as I understand. What's the bill? And it's working its way through the state legislature, correct?
So it's Senate Bill 1710. We had an ad hoc committee a while back. I've been working on this for about 3 years, and a few other people, Blake Eager, Darcy Mentone, Peter, I'm going to get his last name wrong, but Contaleon from Visit Tucson here. Been working on this for a while, but this bill, we created an ad hoc committee and then the opportunity to pass a bill to get it through.
Got it. Mm-hmm. And where in the process is that?
So went through House Appropriations, got bipartisan support, unanimous support, Senate Appropriations, I'm sorry, Senate Appropriations, got through the Senate floor, and it actually got through House Appropriations. Now it's in the House floor. Okay. So it just needs to pass through the House floor, and then the governor needs to sign it, and then mm-hmm. our authority will be created.
Right, and it's kind of interesting that this was happening alongside of the film incentive bill mm-hmm. that we've talked about a lot on this show, and it's gotten a lot of press. Maybe 1710 hasn't gotten enough love. Yeah. I haven't seen it out there.
You know, I think 1708, Senate Bill 1708, has created a lot of...
That was the film incentive.
The film incentive, yeah, okay. And that's through all of Arizona. Yep. But what's interesting is both these... bills complement each other. They don't compete with each other, they complement each other. So I think we are getting a lot of bipartisan support. I think a lot of that has to do with our sponsor, David Gowan, who mm-hmm. sees the mm-hmm. how responsible tourism done the right way can create economic mobility and create a lot of opportunities, economic development, social development, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally grateful that he has taken a focus this legislative session mm-hmm. on both 1708 and 1710, because my understanding is David Gowan was a huge supporter, maybe slash sponsor of 17 of the film incentive bill.
If I understand right, he is the sponsor of both bills.
Got
Senate
it.
Bill 1708 and 1710.
Smart.
Yeah, and I think it's a situation where if we can, you know, set up these dominoes now and these opportunities come along, like a film like Duster, if this two bills had been in place, I don't think we would have lost Duster.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it did seem like we were a few months behind.
Yeah.
We're with Edgar Soto in studio. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, part two of our conversation, I want Edgar to look into his crystal ball in a year or two when the sports authority is established. What's happening in Tucson? We've actually had this conversation over a cup of coffee. Maybe you can recreate it here.
I'll try. I'll see if I remember.
It got me excited, and I think it will some of our listeners too. We'll be right back here. We're just getting started on this Wednesday Eve edition of Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Lots to go here on the program. Don't go anywhere.
Local news and talk all day, every day. 10:30, The Voice.
Zach Yenser here, and I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger as they're growing in Tucson. Located just a few doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Little Love Burger is open Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 9, and Friday and Saturday, 11 to 10. You can follow their beat on Instagram and Facebook at Little Love Burger Tucson. Don't you want some burger to love?
Tucson homeowners, do you have equity in your home and would like to sell but are afraid that you won't be able to find a new place in this market? Well, you're not alone. That's why CNC Partners has put together an innovative way to make your next home dream come true. They work with local investors who can purchase your home for cash, pay above market value, waive the appraisal, and provide you with the option to lease your home back to you for 12 months until you can find a new home in the Tucson market. If you'd like to see what that cash offer might look like with no obligation, go to TucsonCashOffer.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the 70-plus startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that houses the university's commercialization hub with several other projects coming out of the ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Zach Yenser here, host of Tipping Point, and I want to tell you that Decibel Coffee Works is the coffee we drink at home and while we're out and about. Run by a great local team of people who care about the Tucson community, you'll find a variety of great coffee drinks, beans, pastries, and more. There's also a rumor ice cream is on its way in 2022. To see their full menu and varieties of roasted beans from around the world, visit DecibelCoffeeWorks.com and visit them at 267 South Avenida del Convento. Mention you heard about them on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser for 10% off your next order on anything you buy.
Hi, this is Ethan Orr from the University of Arizona, where we apply science for sustainability and economic opportunity. At the Arizona Cooperative Extension, we focus on youth leadership, water conservation, and environmental health. If you'd like to find out more about urban agriculture, youth development, or creating a healthier environment, call me, Ethan Orr, at 520-621-0906, or visit us at extension.arizona.edu.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. You're listening to Tipping Point live out of the Common Workspace Studios. We're with Edgar Soto live here in studio. He is on the team working to push through Senate Bill 1710,
yes,
which would establish a Southern Arizona sports, tourism, and film authority.
That's correct.
Here in this region. The film incentive that we've talked about a lot in the region, 1708, is sponsored by the same guy, David Gowan, But that is, this one we're talking about today is Southern Arizona oriented. We talked a little bit about what it would do in the last segment. I want to take some time this segment, Edgar, to get inside your head, cast some vision for us of this sports authority gets through the House, goes to the governor's desk, he signs it. We now have a sports, tourism, and film authority in Southern Arizona. Take me 2 or 3, 4, 5 years on. What's possible in Tucson? What's the impact of this?
I love that question because it gives us an opportunity just to kind of have a vision. And something that happens a lot in Tucson, I feel, is that whenever somebody comes up with an idea, it gets squashed, right? Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, here we are, one step away from getting something like this done. And this authority would allow us an opportunity to purchase land, do some things that we can attract industry and business here to Southern Arizona. So just as a vision, I met with Amanda Powers from FC Tucson the other day, and they're doing some really great things there with professional soccer. And I've always thought that, I would love to have like a major league team or NFL team, but that would be challenging to build, you know, a huge stadium like that, right? But I think an area where we haven't really explored a lot is the opportunity of an NBA team. I think there's 28 teams right now, and I know Las Vegas, Seattle, places that want to get into the NBA. And you think about it, and you think about maybe having an arena for maybe the NBA, FC Tucson, somewhere downtown. I don't know about the space and all that stuff. So this is just me with this vision and dream. But, you know, I think we need to dream it. We need to look at the possibilities. You know, an 18,000-seat arena is not, I think we'd be able to fill that up. A lot of people say, well, you don't have the people. There's a few NBA teams that have less population than us and have NBA teams.
What are some examples?
So, you know, I think in Utah, I know Portland, I think some of those teams, I think there's a couple others. And you look at the University of Arizona and their popularity. I mean, we filled McHale, 14,000-seat arena every game, from my understanding. The women, pretty close to filling it up as well. But I think, you know, we're a basketball town. And you look at University of Arizona, they're always at the top of the Pac-12 as far as attendance. But you just look at these possibilities. And my goal is just to have the infrastructure in place that if that opportunity comes about, that we're ready for it. We can pounce on it. And we're ready to maybe create that situation. I think there's some people here in Southern Arizona that might be interested. But I know people will probably say, oh, no, that's not possible. Well, if we don't try, I guarantee it's not going to happen. I think we got to give it an effort with some of the FC Tucson stuff going on with professional soccer, with the NBA, Major League Baseball, film. I mean, we used to have a real robust film industry here. We got what's called the 300-mile zone, that if somebody wants to have a film here, they've got mountains, they got highways, they can even go into Mexico because I mean, we've got an agreement with them for the beaches and other things. So there's some opportunities here that if we kind of do these things correctly, that we can, I mean, the bottom line is we can create some opportunities to have business, industry, and bottom line, good jobs, so people can have good jobs that pay well and live lives of meaning and purpose.
When you look around at, and maybe one, I could be wrong about this, but I think population-wise, culture-wise, their place in the state-wise, I think San Antonio is another city that is close to Tucson in terms of those things. When you look at great sports cities around the country, besides a sports authority that can move some of these pieces around, what makes them successful there that maybe we need to do better here?
I think that Tucson, we have a lot of nonprofits. I think you and I talked about this, more nonprofits per capita than most places in the country. And a lot of times we're all kind of seeking the same kind of help from the same people. And we can figure out a way to pull together and figure out how to work together. Like, this bill is not going to take away from anybody. It's going to complement what the city, the county, the state is already doing. But I think you mentioned San Antonio. So San Antonio is a city of gastronomy, which is...
We were the first, but
yeah,
the second.
Yeah, Tucson is also. So, you know, so we are a city of gastronomy, and I think there's only 15 in the whole world, right? And so we got these opportunities with food and different kinds of restaurants and things that we have, that I think that we have a culture in a way where you know, we should show the world and do it in a responsible way, and we can create that economic mobility, economic impact.
When we've had the organizers, I'm getting so mixed up with my numbers, Edgar. Mm-hmm. 1708 was the film.
Is the film.
There we go. So when we had folks on, we had Peter Catalanote from Film Tucson.
Oh, you said his name correctly. Catalanote.
I had to practice a lot. But yeah, let the record show.
Yes.
1708 is, you know, he said, hey, call these legislators. We want Southern Arizona support for this. Is there anything our listeners can do today to keep pushing this sports authority to the governor's desk?
I think talking to their legislature, you know, the House of Representatives, and talk to them and let them know that this is a positive. I've talked to a few people that are really excited that, you know, when we did have this film industry here and films going on at Old Tucson, a lot of those people that are in New Mexico, Georgia, California, they want to come back to Tucson. And so we have an opportunity where some learning can take place. The other part that is important to realize here is that a lot of our very gifted and talented students that graduate from the University of Arizona, Pima, they have to go out of state to find good jobs, or out of Tucson, other Southern Arizona. And I want to mention there's 6 counties involved in this, potentially 8 counties. And we need to create pathways so we can retain some of our talent and bring some of our talent back. And I think that would create a situation where we can continue to kind of grow, evolve, and create these opportunities.
Sure. Any other way that people can get a hold of you, or is there an email or a website or a group or anything related to your efforts?
You know, I'll share with you a link that explains what's going on that the Visit Tucson sent out, and it has a lot of information, contact information. But if anybody has questions, and I think there's some confusion with sometimes with you know, with tax credits and other things going on, that we want to clear up to make sure that people understand that this is an opportunity to create some business and economic mobility here in Southern Arizona.
For sure. You'll send that to me, or do you?
I'll send it to you.
Okay, perfect.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I'll put that. I promise I'll put that up on my public social media so people can see it. But you know, I do think that we have to figure out ways that we can remain competitive. I think Tucson, often it's part of our charm, thinks we live in this bubble. And that the world kind of revolves around us. And the reality is that the world moves fast, and we have to keep up with it as the 33rd largest city in America. Mm-hmm. And some of that is figuring out how can our public sector support the work of the private sector in very key, pointed, and appropriate ways. Edgar, thanks for coming on the show. It's great to hear more about what you're up to. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And I like the picture of the future that you painted. I'm there.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Tucson, when we come back after a short break, we're going to talk about a couple other current events in Tucson and some stories nationally that have an impact on us here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back.
Tucson homeowners, do you have equity in your home and would like to sell but are afraid that you won't be able to find a new place in this market? Well, you're not alone. That's why CNC Partners has put together an innovative way to make your next home dream come true. They work with local investors who can purchase your home for cash, pay above market value, waive the appraisal, and provide you with the option to lease your home back to you for 12 months until you can find a new home in the Tucson market. If you'd like to see what that cash offer might look like with no obligation, go to Tucson Cash Offer.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the 70-plus startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that houses the university's commercialization hub with several other projects coming out of the ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
Hey And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger. They opened downtown last fall, and I'm pleased to share that they're doing quite well. Little Love Burger is serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream, milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. You can follow them on their social media at Little Love Burger and mention you heard about them here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser for a 15% discount off your next order. We just said goodbye to Edgar Soto, our guest for the first half of the hour, and he is working with a group here in Southern Arizona to establish a Southern Arizona Sports, Tourism, and Film Authority. And it's Senate Bill 1710. Boy, after it being mentioned three or four times for a half an hour, I finally got it right. It's gone through the Senate. It's gone through a phase or two in the House. And it's really one step, it sounds like, from getting to the governor's desk. And David Gowan, Southern Arizona lawmaker, sponsored both 1710 and 1708. 1708 being the film incentive bill that we've discussed a lot on this show. And both are really ways of figuring out how do we channel sports and tourism and film to create economic mobility and opportunity in a variety of ways in Southern Arizona. So we wish Edgar the best of luck. I think this would be a good thing. And he presented some big ideas, but certainly, Matt, losing spring baseball, I think, will sting for at least a few years more. He said that as a way of saying if we can have this sports authority, and this concept, you know, is not necessarily new, but if it was fully effective and in place, maybe we could have provided what teams needed to stay here. But Matt, I don't know about you, every time that gets mentioned, I kind of twinge a little bit. It still hurts that we lost spring baseball, but good things can still be ahead.
It was going to be tough for them to stay here, especially once they lost one of them. There was three. You lose one, it's just too much commuting to the Phoenix area. So I think that was just inevitable. You had to kind of build from the three for that to work.
Yeah, for sure. But it is interesting. Something I haven't really thought about a lot is that there are some major sports cities that are kind of the size and I would even venture to say culture of Tucson. And, you know, I hadn't really thought of that before, to be honest, before I started connecting with Edgar, both on the show and off the show, of just saying, yeah, I mean, there's obviously major gaps. You look at, for example, a San Antonio, and similar food city, similar culture, similar size, similar kind of space within the state, kind of a similar role. But there is, and I don't know what it all is, but there's a sense, I think if you're listening right now, as I'm talking, there's a sense that there's something missing, right? That there's something in some of those other places that make that possible versus what is here. And I think that's why I'm so bullish on, you know, things like FC Tucson, the Sugar Skulls, the Roadrunners. I know, you know, it's been in somewhat of the papers. The Roadrunners, for example, would love to see more local support and more investment of different kinds in making that happen. So I think that there is something in the water in Tucson that needs to shift if we want to grow into some of the things that I think we can. So I'll leave it there because I've got a lot else that I want to talk about, one of which is the food city that we are. Matt, how about Don Guerra winning a James Beard Award for Outstanding Baker yesterday? Add another to the list. We punch way above our weight when it comes to food. And Don, congratulations to you. You're a friend of so many in Tucson. You deserve this. Congratulations, and Matt, I know you share that as well.
Absolutely. makes a great product. He's interested in sharing the craft of baking with others, and it's been that way for a long time. He was doing this from the very beginning. He wants to teach people how to bake. He uses legacy grains from the area, so he incorporates things that are unique to the region. And again, he makes a great product. I mean, it all starts with that. It all starts with knowing what you're doing, doing it well, and clearly the man has a passion for what he does. And it shows in the finished product.
Well, I think his story is crazy, too, and I'd love to have him on the show over the next few weeks, so I might try to make that happen. I know he'll be making the rounds anyway. But, you know, his story is interesting. As I understand it, he was actually a school teacher for a while and transitioned into this as a passion project. And his entrepreneurial journey is pretty cool. I think he started doing what he's doing now out of his garage.
Correct.
And just stuck with it. And it's a great entrepreneurial story, not just a food story, but a great entrepreneurial story here in Tucson in Southern Arizona. And now he's got national recognition, if not beyond. So good for Don. And just what a great, and he's a great dude too. I mean, just a good person. Sometimes you don't always get that combination, success and a good person, but he's the combo.
Yeah, and Zach, so. And I don't remember the details about it, but he got some sort of a grant to kind of help him start his business. And he took that seriously. Yeah. He took that as, people investing in him. And I think that partially fuels his interest in sharing, again, the craft, the art of baking with people. And so somebody who has that sense of gratitude and wants to turn that around and outreach to others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Such a great story. And I didn't want today to go by without recognizing it. But there's a couple of dot connecting things that I want to do before the show is out. I want to talk about, and then we'll get into it here. I know we have a break coming up, but I want to talk about a piece written by the CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce about housing. And I want to use that to springboard into an interesting conversation. The Democratic governor of Colorado vetoed an electric vehicle charging proposal. And I want to talk about how that connects to housing and a similar issue in Tucson. So that's, if that all winds together and makes sense, that's where I want to go. But let's fit this in before the break. I saw this piece. I texted it to a few friends because it was incredibly, incredibly validating. And let me just say this. I think it is awkward for me. I try not to do it a lot. I don't have this platform to pat myself on the back. I don't like doing it. It doesn't make for good radio. You don't tune in to hear that. But many of you know listening that I really started getting involved in speaking about the housing issue in Arizona probably 6 or 7 years ago. And I joked with our guest, Tom Heath, yesterday. I started talking about housing before it was cool. Right? There were a few of us, and not necessarily a small group, but there was a few core of us, a few in the business community, certainly many in the neighborhoods around this city, who started huddling in rooms 6, 7, 8 years ago and saying, we are on the verge of a big city, big state housing crisis. If you talk to most people, they're not going to see it. They're not going to talk about it. It's not on the front of people's minds, but we have all of the ingredients for a housing crisis. And I clearly remember this realization. I think I've talked about this on the show too, where at first, you know, at the front end of those 6, 7, 8 years ago conversation, I remember thinking to myself, there's a lot of neighbors and a lot of nonprofits and a lot of community advocates who are having this conversation and saying we are on the front edge of a housing crisis. But I was also at the same time in a lot of business rooms, chamber rooms, business org rooms, economic development rooms, sometimes in the same day. And I thought to myself, it's really interesting that we're not hearing this in those rooms. And I remember thinking to myself, and I probably said it on here back in the day, until those two rooms come together, and in some ways they're still not together, but until at least the conversation is happening in both spaces, we're not going to meaningfully tackle and bring attention to the housing crisis. That the housing crisis that we are about to get, and this is me speaking from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, needs to be framed at least in part as an economic crisis. It needs to be framed in the view of the economy. Not just neighborhood sustainability, not just, you know, being able to provide housing to those who are vulnerable. All that needs to be the conversation too, but we need to frame it in terms of the economy. Well, yesterday comes out a piece written by Danny Seiden, who is the new-ish president and CEO of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, the statewide Arizona Chamber. The opening line, could failure to solve Arizona's housing shortage put Arizona's red-hot economy at risk? Danny talks about how our economy is booming. He says, simply put, nothing fate, circumstance, or a public health crisis have thrown at the state has slowed down the pace of our economy. Listen to this. The Arizona housing supply crisis absolutely has the potential to derail the state's economic development efforts and hurts tens of thousands of businesses, large and small, if we don't take meaningful action to address the shortage of housing immediately. We are welcoming 100,000 new Arizonans a year, my friends. Rental occupancy stands at 98%, which is a record. Few homes are for sale, and the Arizona Department of Housing says that we need to build 270,000 new rental units over the next few years to just keep up with this surging demand. He writes this, it's alleged, his words, not mine. Unfortunately, too many local mayors and council members seem more interested in scoring points with residents who are often anti-new development, anti-housing, than in passing workable solutions for Arizona's housing shortfall. Arizona needs more housing at every price point in every region of the state. And he says what I said on this show a few weeks ago, by the way, that President Biden, quote, with whom the Arizona Chamber rarely sides, nailed it, says Danny Seiden, in April, when President Joe Biden said, exclusionary land use and zoning policies constrain land use, artificially inflate prices, perpetuate historical patterns of segregation, keep workers in lower productivity regions, and limit economic growth, unquote. I'm not going to read the full article. That makes for bad radio. But I want to say thank you to business leadership, at least at the state level, for coming to the table finally. This has been happening at some level regionally. It needs to be louder and it needs to be bigger because we are in a full-blown housing crisis that is going to create negative economic impact. We cannot live with few homes for sale, 98% occupancy, 270,000 workforce housing units short in this state. We cannot have that and have 100,000 new Arizonans a year come in. That is not going to create a balance that creates long-term success of any kind in this state. And my gut hunch has always been, until we saw these kind of pieces, until we saw the business community say, this is not just a social or justice or equity issue, this is a business and economy issue, we were going to spin our wheels. So I hope this points to some good things. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about a story that absolutely relates because it's happening here in Tucson. The governor of Colorado vetoing electric vehicle charging station requirements for new housing, why he did it, and what it means for Tucson, because we're in the middle of that conversation in Tucson as the Tucson City Council wants to do something similar here in Tucson. So we're going to talk about that on our way back. A wide-ranging drive time hour of Tipping Point wraps up on the other side. Keep us right here. Don't go anywhere. Tipping Point returns in just a minute.
Your source for trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Zach Yenser here, host of Tipping Point, and I want to tell you that Decibel Coffee Works is the coffee we drink at home and while we're out and about. Run by a great local team of people who care about the Tucson community, you'll find a variety of great coffee drinks, beans, pastries, and more. There's also a rumor ice cream is on its way in 2022. To see their full menu and varieties of roasted beans from around the world, visit DecibelCoffeeWorks.com and visit them at 267 South Avenida del Convento. Mention you heard about them on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser for 10% off your next order on anything you buy. Zach Yenser here, and I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger as they're growing in Tucson. Located just a few doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, some ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Little Love Burger is open Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 9, and Friday and Saturday, 11 to 10. You can follow their beat on Instagram and Facebook at Little Love Burger Tucson. Don't you want some burger to love?
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
Hi, this is Ethan Orr from the University of Arizona, where we apply science for sustainability and economic opportunity. At the Arizona Cooperative Extension, we focus on youth leadership, water conservation, and environmental health. If you'd like to find out more about urban agriculture, youth development, or creating a healthier environment, call me, Ethan Orr, at 520-621-0906, or visit us at extension.arizona.edu.
Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento.
This is Bill Buckmaster, Monsoon 2022 Preview at noon on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Bill, give us some good news at noon. Tell us the monsoon is coming. I'll be listening. Oh, Decibel Coffee Works is making this show happen today, run by a great local team of people who care about the Tucson community. Decibel Coffee Works is the coffee we drink at home, and while we're out and about, you can go to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com, D-E-C-I-B-E-L, CoffeeWorks.com, one word, or visit them at 267 South Avenida del Convento. Mention you heard about them here on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser for 10% off your next order on anything that you buy. So time is ticking. I wanted to talk about a story that happened somewhere else than Arizona, but actually I think has an impact on what happens here. This was written about over the weekend in kind of a legacy media platform. Governor Polis, Democratic governor of Colorado, vetoes bill requiring commercial multifamily buildings to have electric car charging stations. House Bill 1218 in the Colorado legislature would have applied to new high occupancy buildings as well as to renovation of 50% or more of an existing high occupancy buildings, and it would have required certain commercial buildings and multifamily residences to include electric vehicle charging stations depending on the building's size. In his veto letter, Governor Polis wrote that he fears the bill would, quote, result in higher housing costs at a time when Coloradans are struggling to afford them. HB 1218 does not include enough flexibility to adapt to changing infrastructure. While installing EV chargers up front can be less expensive over the long run, requiring it would result in higher costs. We also need an approach to charging infrastructure that recognizes the different uses and needs of different buildings and communities, and is concerned that as the charging infrastructure develops and innovates and changes, that the cost of replacing that infrastructure, even over the short term, would be expensive. So I read about this veto over the weekend. Again, I think, you know, valuable in the sense that it's a similar conversation to what is happening locally in the city of Tucson around EV charging, but that also was vetoed by a Democratic administration. So what is the Tucson connection? Here in Tucson, this Tucson City Council is considering requirements for larger retail businesses and for new apartments and commercial development, devotion of 10% of parking spaces to a combination of charging stations and EV-ready power outlets. So there's a commercial component, and there is a housing component. New commercial property developments to include minimum EV infrastructure ranging from EV capable pre-wiring to EV charging stations, so on and so forth. Apartment and other multifamily housing developments and hotels will be required to install EV-ready power outlets accessible to at least 10% of their parking spaces, and make 15%. Of their space is EV capable. And so that's what's happening in Tucson. And it was interesting, again, to read the story out of Colorado, because there are certainly some advocacy voices locally who are saying, look, we're on board with the shift to electric vehicles, as, by the way, Colorado is. Right, Governor Polis has passed other legislation that begins to move in this direction. It is not about the theory or the merit of the thing. It is about the policy of the thing, and a recognition that, unlike some of these other places, there is still a lower use of electric vehicles in Tucson than in some even other peer cities. But my concern, personally, about some of these proposals at a local Tucson level are shared by Governor Polis of Colorado, that we are at a time where we say, and locally our leaders say, we have an affordable housing crisis, and they are correct. We have a housing abundance crisis. I don't care whether you're looking at affordable, workforce, luxury. We need it all. We don't have enough of it all. We have a housing abundance crisis. I don't use the word crisis unless I mean it. I promised it to you. I think I've proved it to you over the last couple of years on this show. I don't use crisis to whip up emotion. I only use it if I actually think it is. We have one. We have an affordable housing crisis. At local levels, at even state levels, we have to be careful, in this case, of saying we have a crisis and then putting in place policies that exacerbate the crisis. And I think we often get there because in the American city, in many American cities, we have shifted to where we value theory over people. Right? I think we get caught in these well-meaning cycles where we say, look, as a city, we want to move in more carbon-friendly directions. By the way, Zach Gensler thinks that we should. Cities are on the front edge of climate change and climate adaptation. Just ask the Republican mayor of Miami, who won 73% of the vote in his election a year or two ago, by saying that. Right? When you have these conversations at a city level, the dynamic changes, the dialogue changes, most people can recognize that this is not just a federal or a global issue. This is now a city's issue. So no argument from me there. But we have to establish what our priorities are. And sometimes, for love of theory and political checkboxes, and everybody does this, by the way, no picking on anybody, we can often go too far too fast to check a box while creating policy that pushes back on other things that we say are a priority. Like Jared Polis, the Democratic governor of Colorado, my concern right now in Tucson is that we are in a tipping point moment on housing. We still have a sliver of opportunity to make the right decisions to make housing more affordable, less expensive, and more accessible. You don't do that by adding excessive regulation and permitting and fees and requirements. You encourage it, you move in that direction, but I don't think you require it. And we have to be clear on these things. If the Democratic governor of Colorado did it, I think Tucson should do it and should realize that this is not the moment in time where we make it more expensive and more hard to build new housing in Tucson. So this electric vehicle charging item is going to be up for a possible vote in July, and we'll see what happens. But look, this is not a zero-sum game, right? To not have these requirements doesn't mean you're not wanting to move in a more carbon-friendly direction. It just means that you're willing to phase in new things to not create price shocks in the near term that pushes back against what we hear is an agenda to create more housing that is affordable. Urban governance falls apart when we value theory over people, when we value politics over people. Hugh Hewitt up next, Bill Buckmaster at noon. We'll be back tomorrow. Our faith and culture contributor is with us. Ruben Navarrete gives us his view on national issues from his nationally syndicated perch here on the West Coast. Thanks for listening, Tucson. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay safe and cool out there. We'll see you tomorrow.